Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's go from verse 1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands, but his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. But one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. Let's go to verse 39. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but that all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Amen. Now, I shared with you a few days ago that a big part of 1 Corinthians, or the Corinthian letters, remember there was actually three of them, but one is lost. And so we have two remaining here. And the part was dealing with stuff that was going on in the church, and it was also answering questions that were brought forth from some of the disciples, you know, in Corinth. And so they basically sent Paul a long list of questions, and he would, you know, basically spend the book answering these questions, right? And so when you read now concerning this or now concerning that, that'll be different headings throughout the course of the book, which is what he shared on. You know, so like if you were, you know, shoot me an email and said, well, Pastor Sam, I got these questions, you know, and I shoot back something at you, you know, hopefully in a timely manner, but I shoot something back at you, and that would be the kind of the same situation that Paul's in. And so he starts off on chapter 12, because you have to understand the first thought and the last thought, okay? That gives you insight in everything that's happening in the middle, all right? So the first thought is in 1 Corinthians 12 that we read a few days ago. Says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. That's the beginning thought, okay? So he begins the whole discourse saying, look, so here are your questions about spiritual gifts. Now, I don't want you to be ignorant. And then, boom, and he goes off talking about it. And then he finishes the whole thought in verse 39 of chapter 14. He says, therefore, right? So now he's concluding the two or three previous chapters before, and he's finishing his thought on spiritual gifts. And he said, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but let all things be done properly in an orderly manner. How do I know we finished? Well, read the next verse, 15. It says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I... So now he's moved on to a whole other topic, okay? So now he's talking about the resurrection. And so he begins the thought, you know, by saying, look, I'm going to tell you about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. And when he concludes the whole talk, and now whatever's in between, right, chapter 12, 13, 14, some controversy in the church on how to, you know, kind of exegete that. But you got that, right? That's done. But he says at the end of it, he says, therefore, in conclusion, desire that you would prophesy, and do not forbid people to speak in tongues. But let it be done in an orderly manner, right? Because God is a God of order, not a God of confusion. So his conclusion, you know, no matter what you think, you know, chapter 13, you know, and all that stuff about, maybe I need to take a step back and, right? And chapter 12 is the use of spiritual gifts. Then he talks about the body of Christ, because it's connected, right? The gifts are for the body. And then he seems to kind of break the thought in some way, but it's actually not breaking the thought at all, if you follow along with what Paul's trying to do. Then he spends chapter 13 talking about love, you know, and the supremacy of love. And you know, most even secular poets, you know, and critics, they think that what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 is some of the most beautiful prose ever written, right? And this really is the height that man can achieve under the power of the Holy Spirit in terms of writing. I mean, this is just beautiful. You know, probably the most often quoted phrase in weddings around the world, right, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know many of you ladies are thinking about your wedding, and you're probably going to, you know, quote, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. And so a lot of people have kind of used 1 Corinthians 13 as a backdrop to say, see, that's old stuff, you know. Like when he talks about, you know, childish things and, you know, and whatnot. See, that's later on. And then to even draw the point in 1 Corinthians 13, it says verse 8. So he talks about love. And he said, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I have also been fully known. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Right? And so you see Paul's kind of his literary work, right? Love gives a commentary, and then he goes back to what he wanted to talk about in the beginning, right? He says, okay, at the end, faith, hope, love. Now, a lot of people have used that passage to say, see, the gifts don't exist anymore. You know, when I was a man and this child, you know, blah, 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 and all these things. But, you know, you have to read the text carefully. He says, when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. What's the perfect? Right? I mean, what is the perfect? When the perfect comes, now, some people believe the perfect is this, the Bible. Right? And gravely, gravely mistaken, right? This is not the perfect is talking about Jesus. Any scholar worth their salt, right, knows that Paul is talking about the second coming of Christ. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when he comes, you know, then I will know fully and be fully known. Even when he talks about as a child, you know, speak as a child, he's not saying that, you know, the gifts are childish things. He's giving a metaphor, you know, because he's talking about when I was a child, I used to do childish in the same way, when I know in part, but then I'll be fully known. And so he's making a distinction between young and old and what's happening now, what's going to happen in the future. And so he's making a picture there. He's not saying that spiritual gifts are childish things, you know. And so you kind of have to understand. And then, you know, and if anyone misses the point of this whole thing, he says, pursue love. It earnestly desires spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. You know, Paul makes it very, very clear, right, that as Christians, we are to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. You know, the crazy thing in the modern church is we have a lot of people that are more holy than Paul is. You know, we have people that are more spiritual than the Apostle Paul. You know, because a lot of people are saying, well, I don't really need the gifts. You know, I'm fine. You know, if God wants to give it to me, God will give it to me. That's not the biblical prerogative, right? He says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, present tense imperative. In other words, he's saying desire and keep desiring and keep asking, keep seeking until you receive spiritual gifts. Or another way of saying that, until the spiritual gifts become, right, flamed inside of you, or what you already have. You know, someone asked me the question, well, are you born with spiritual gifts, or does it come when the Spirit comes upon you? Who cares? I mean, does it really matter? You know, all we understand is the Spirit that you know, ignites or launches these things. So if it happens, you have it before or after, it's still the Spirit that calls these things out. And so, you know, whatever happens in this place, you know, it's just, you know, continue to desire. And then he goes on in the end of this thing. So just in case you didn't understand what Paul was saying through this whole thing, in case you didn't really understand and get the gist of what Paul's message was about spiritual gifts, at the end of it all, he says, therefore, in other words, in conclusion, this is my last thought on the subject, brothers, desire earnestly to prophesy, right? And do not forbid to speak in tongues. Both those phrases are present tense imperatives. In other words, keep desiring to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. If you heard my message on tongues, you know, probably last year, you know, the way the sentence structure, the way this is written, right, is Paul is saying, you are forbidding people to speak in tongues. Stop it and continue to stop it. Right? You as leaders, brothers, you are preventing people from speaking in tongues. I want you to stop that. Don't prevent people. And not just don't stop it now, continue to stop it. Right? That's Paul's last word on spiritual gifts. You know? And, I mean, it's pretty much in your face, man. Right? I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, Paul makes it clear that this is, right, something that's brought forth in the church to edify the church, right? That's where he talks about the body. But the way that it manifests and the best way that we use it is when we operate in love, right? And you could tell Paul needs to add this conclusion to this because the Corinthian church, very worldly church, you know, it was a lot of pride going on, you know, it's a lot of people exalting their gifts, you know, above God and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's like a little kid falling in love with a toy and forgets everything else, you know. And, yeah, the operation of that is not good. And there's definitely danger, you know, or pitfalls when it comes to spiritual gifts. Yes, there are. I mean, let's be really honest. You know, it's very easy for people to get puffed up, you know. But what if, and this is the question I always ask people that, you know, really confronting me on this issue. What if, right, that we use the gifts and it edified the body, right, and it operated out of love, right, done in an orderly manner? And I'd always ask them, it says, would you object to that? And they have to say no, because that's the Bible, right? I mean, then there'd be not be people who believe in the Bible, right? But I would just simply ask the question, it says, what if the gifts were used to edify the body? In other words, it wasn't about puffing up ourselves or an ego trip for us, you know, and it was, you know, used to build the body of Christ. It was operated out of a motive of love, not out of selfish gain, right, not out of a self anything, but real love was the motivation by which we operate in this. You know, in other words, I prophesied, you know, over Brian because I loved him and God loves him. Not that I want to show my superiority of my spirituality, you know, but real love was really flowing, you know, and it was done in an orderly manner. In other words, it wasn't, you know, so chaotic. And now order is a whole other topic, okay? Because order for you is different than order for me, right? Order in Africa is different than order in North America. You know, order in Asia is definitely, you know, very different than order in America. You know what I mean? And so a lot of this is more of a cultural thing, you know, and so we need to define order. And again, maybe in another morning prayer time, you know, we'll talk about the order of God and whatnot and things. But, you know, I mean, the evidence is pretty much there, you know. And I tell you, this is for me personally, right? I have a really, really difficult time understanding people who are Bible-believing Christians that just don't care about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to really touch on this on Sunday, right? I have a real, real difficult time, right, with people that have become so ambivalent, you know. And my hypothesis is that generally those type of people are not just ambivalent about the Holy Spirit. They're ambivalent about many, many different things. You know, but, you know, I mean, I guess I could say it's a real pet peeve of mine, you know. And so, and if you're in Solomon's Porch, right, and this is, you know, your church and stuff, and you're very ambivalent about these things, you know, one, you're going to really hate it here, you know. I mean, really, right, you're going to really dislike it, you know. You're going to be very uncomfortable many, many different times. Maybe the best thing for you in some ways. You know, and, you know, that was that two, you know, and three, get your act together, right? Be passionate about what God is passionate about. You know, don't be holier than Paul. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, this is what Paul says. You know, are you more spiritual than Paul? You know, are you more godly than Paul? I mean, give me a break, you know, and stuff. And so let's just simply read the scriptures, see what God has to say, and align ourselves to what God is saying. I mean, it's pretty simple in that way. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Sorry, a little too much pathos at the end of that one. Are you desiring earnestly spiritual gifts? Now, I know I've heard the phrase, Pastor Sam, I'm desiring the giver, not the gifts. Bah, so unbiblical, so unbiblical. Sounds so holy. You got to understand, we have so many prayers or attitudes that sound so holy. You know what I mean? I mean, doesn't that sound holy? Pastor Sam, I'm seeking after the giver and not the gifts. Right? But Paul very well said, seek after the gifts. You know? I mean, you became too holy for yourself. You know? Sounds so good, but just not in the Bible. I mean, of course we're seeking after the giver. I mean, geez, you know, of course we are. It's like so stupid. With that said in mind, are you earnestly seeking after spiritual gifts? Especially that you would prophesy. Prophesy meaning that you have the mind of Christ and you're able to speak forth in power and anointing that mind of Christ that edifies the body. It's incredible how people that don't believe in the prophetic are benefiting from the prophetic week in and week out. What I mean by that is, you know, every message that I want to preach, I ask God, God, what do you want me to say? You know, I mean, there's 10,000 topics I could preach on a weekly basis. The Bible is so rich of so many different things. Right? You don't want to just give a message, right? Or you don't want to give the word. You want to give the now word. That's the spirit of the prophetic at work. And pastors all over the world are doing it, even though they may not believe in it. Right? Call it something else different, but it's the same thing. So really, check your heart today. Are you desiring spiritual gifts? Or are you just too holy for that? Have you came up with that false humility of, I'm seeking the giver, not the gifts? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't you seek the giver and the gifts? It's the same thing, right? Why can't you have the word and the spirit? Why does it be one or the other? I never understood that debate. Check your hearts. Check your hearts. Don't worry, you'll get an earful on Sunday, or as much as time allows, since we have our parent seminar. But let's check our hearts today. Am I too holy for myself? Or am I seeking something outside of my own ability? Samantha leads us in worship. We meditate on that. Let's spend a moment. Let's pray that the gifts of God would flow through His church. Let's pray over our hearts and our lives that there would be a real passion for what God wants to give to us, a real desire in our hearts to receive and walk in the fullness of what God has for His church, for His children. And let's just spend some time. Let's just pray on that for a bit. Thank you, God. Let's just pray and just intercede over our weekend before the Lord. Let's pray for all the stuff that's going on at church. Tonight is our prayer meeting, and also Cane Road House Church is meeting tonight. Let's ask the Lord's hand and blessing over things. Tomorrow there's a men's ministry breakfast for the leaders. Let's ask the Lord would speak to the men's leaders and that would really steer the ministry to the kingdom. And let's pray for our baptism class in the afternoon. Pray for the youth group in the evening. Pray for the intercessory prayer time in the late afternoon as well. I know a couple of house churches are going on a junk trip. Let's pray for just a real great time of fellowship and fun and bonding for those house churches. Let's pray for our Sunday service. Let's pray for our 10 o'clock service, our 2 o'clock service, Noah's Ark, Sunday school in the morning. Let's pray for our afternoon spark, the spiritual parenting at the Ark. Let's just cover all of our activities over the weekend and just ask the Lord to really bless and bring about His intended purpose for these meetings. So let's pray. Thank you, God. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to put your hand upon us, Lord God, and we give you all our activities. Lord, we pray that they're more than activities, God. Lord, that there are times and opportunities to meet with you, Father. And so would you come and just release, God, your intended purpose, God, for every gathering this weekend. We especially pray, God, for our team in Chichihar, God, help them to come back to Hong Kong safely, and the team that's going out today, Father God, to Hinan. Bless them as well, Father God. We thank you. We just cover, Father God, our weekend's activities before you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys today. Huh? Have a great last day of work. And then have a wonderful weekend as well. And we'll see you guys on Sunday.